is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
This is episode 100 of the double. That's it. That's the celebration.
Those are the fireworks.
Golf clap.
Yay.
It only took like
We're
six
so fancy.
Years.
We're very fancy over here.
So I had posted a thing in our Ravelry group asking people what they wanted to hear, and basically it was like, we like what you talk about. Talk about that stuff. So it's also our end of year, so we're going to talk about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's our end of year wrap up,
mm-hmm.
Where we kind of talk about our year of knitting.
Yes.
And, so I started two threads in our Ravelry group. So mm-hmm. The first one is a poll for our knit along. Our first knit along for 2015. Mm-hmm. So there are five choices. Vote.
Please.
And we'll do whatever one gets the most votes. There are... Oh, and now that I've covered this up.
Oh.
there are five choices. The first is projects based on a book, a movie, a TV show, etc. So that's really open-ended. You can pretty much do whatever you want. New to you techniques... Stash decluttering, whip decluttering, mm-hmm. or in out with the old, in with the new. So knit a languishing whip and then knit a new project. Or use really old yarn and then newer yarn.
And
I don't know why that didn't save as a poll.
I sense that Erin only added that option so that would give everybody a chance to hassle me about giant Latvian mitten cardigan. So
I did.
She did. I know it.
And then the other thread that I started was a favorite double knit moment, which a couple people said that we should do that. Mm-hmm. So if you have a moment that you love, I posted mine in the thread, which is recent, the period drama of Big Ass Spider, because I thought that's hilarious. Or like techniques we've talked about that you found really helpful, or when we crack each other up, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then we'll... I'll read a couple of them over the next few episodes.
My favorite thing I gotta say was when Audrey was first starting to talk, and we'd say bye, and unprompted she would from the other end of the room go bye. That was so cute. Yeah,
that is pretty damn cute.
It was
isn't
damn
it?
Cute. all right.
So those are two things. You can go onto the Ravelry group and you can vote on the one thing once I get the poll fixed. And you can post about your favorite double knit moment. And mm-hmm. we'll read those out and announce this. So I think I'll put the end date for the poll as, what do you think, 2 weeks? Or the end of January?
2-3 weeks, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, so like toward the end of January.
Because it'll take a few days for this to actually make its way into the world, and it's kind of a busy time of year, I think, for people.
Yeah, still. So in a few weeks, I'll lock that down, and we'll announce the new knit along, and we'll do all that business. Mm-hmm. So that's that.
Yay. All right.
Woohoo. So do you want to talk about current knitting stuff?
I can do that. So I'm currently knitting my custom knit number 4. I've got I think I've got 21 rows or garter ridges left on the collar because the collar is massive.
It is huge.
And it's all done. And I actually ran out of yarn last night at knitting, so I spent all my time at the end of knitting last night just weaving in all the ends.
Well, that's
so
good.
When I'm done with this, I have like 3 ends to weave in and. Then I have to find buttons for it. But
cool.
I've tried it on a few times. I really like it. Everybody loves the comments on the color because it's mm-hmm. not green.
Yeah.
But someone... Oh, I tried it on for Jody, and she's like, you should definitely start wearing that color more. And I tried it on for Wes, and he went, you know, you usually wear that color. Like, in a much more skeptical tone of voice. But it's the one I'm doing in the Monos Wool Classica. And then currently on my needles, it's a whole saga of a hat thing. I'll do my whole saga.
Yeah.
So you guys know I like to knit when I go to the movies. And when I go to the movies, I just like to do plain knitting. So mm-hmm. usually if I know I'm going to the movies, I will cast on for a hat and knit the ribbing at home because I can't successfully knit ribbing in the dark. Or at least We were talking about this and knitting, and everyone's like, really? You can't? It's like, maybe I could, but I'd have to think about it. And I don't want to be thinking about my knitting when I'm at the movies. I want to be just doing something mindless with my hands and thinking about the movie. So what I liked, but I didn't, I was going to a movie and I didn't have a chance to do that. So I did my my punt when that happens, which is that I cast on some extra stitches, knit for about 2 inches in garter stitch, bind off a couple of stitches, join it up and knit it in the round up, and then I usually sew the tab down with a button. And so this time I just sewed it down and I just did it with an X with a contrast color. Cute. And everybody loved it. I got more likes. I think it was one of my most liked ever pictures on Instagram.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Like 60 plus likes.
This super simple
for this
hat.
Totally plain hat. And everyone's like, when are you going to do a pattern for it? And I was like, all right, I can do a pattern for it, sure. So I went to knit a second one just to double check that what I had done, thought I had done is what I'd actually done. And so I knit the first one using some woolies, which was left over from another project. And so I knit the second one using woolies in a different color, left over from the same project. And while I was knitting it, it occurred to me it felt like a little thicker, I thought. And when I finished the hat is a full, I don't know, I'd say like 1.5, 2 inches bigger in circumference. And I measured them, and the gauge is completely different. On the first hat, the gauge is 5 stitches to the inch. Second hat, it's 4.5.
Huh.
Same needle.
It's wackadoo.
Same type of yarn, in theory.
It's just different colors.
And totally different gauge. So that was a little weird. So then I started a third one in a different yarn, and now I'm getting a completely different gauge with that, too.
Excellent.
But... So now I think I'm just like, I'm just going to write down what I think, what I'm sure I did, and we'll call that good. Because it's not like I'm charging, going to charge anybody for the hat pattern, and it's a hat. I mean, it was Sharon at Knitting was like, do you have the pattern for that? And I'm like, you can totally make this up.
Oh,
like,
Sharon. Sharon comes over with her own sweat. She's like, oh, no, this is my own design.
I know, she's sitting next to me wearing like a hooded lace cardigan that she just made up, but she's asking me for a hat or a pattern for a plain hat. I think you got this. Yeah, so that's what but the other thing too, we were talking last week about this, you know, about old projects, and I went home and I was like, all right, well maybe I can finally figure out Frost Flowers and Leaves. So I pulled it out and I tinked back a couple thousand stitches and looked at the chart and looked at the thing and was like, found a few mistakes, fixed them, and I think I'm back on track with it, which is really weird. I haven't done much knitting on it, but I knit, you know, I knit around and I'm like, no, I think that's right. I think for some reason, well, at one point I picked it up and I think I was confused about which marker was my end of round marker, because it has so many markers in it. And I think I was confused about that, but I think I was also, I had myself convinced that it was, I was about to start the next chart, when in fact I was not. I think I just leapt ahead. And so once I had it set up, I mean, I could be wrong, but I was counting and counting and recounting and looking, and I think I know exactly where I am on it, and I think I've got the stitches all correct now. But it's still such a nose-to-chart pattern for me. And I thought about trying to do it using Knit Companion and trying to do a scan of the pattern and convert that into a PDF and put it into Knit Companion, and that maybe that would help me a little bit, but I haven't gotten there yet. But I also decided, so long as we're scanning things, like I had Wes set up the scanner while I was trying to fix the knitting. I was like, oh, here, scan this too. So I had him scan the chart for the Giant Latvian Mitten cardigan. And I haven't played with it yet, but I think I'm going to play with it a bit in Knit Companion, because the big problem with that one, again, it was, the chart is tiny, and I blew it up, and it's still tiny, and it's very hard to track where you are on it, because it's this massive repeat. And when you're doing the sleeve, which is where I am on it right now, the beginning of the round changes, the stitch changes on every row as you're decreasing, so I think some kind of electronic way to say, here is where I am might help quite a bit. So, not making any promises, but that's where I am right now. But mostly I've just been knitting on this sweater nonstop all month. So, yeah. that's where I am right now.
Cool. And you're almost done.
So I'm almost done, yeah. What are your whips?
My whips? I am currently working on a cardigan. I'm on the first sleeve. I'm calling it the cozy cardigan, but it's actually the indigo banded cardigan by Cecily Glock McDonald. And we're looking at it's from a Knit Scene magazine from 2009. Mm-hmm. There's some styling issues.
Well, it's funny because it has this decorative band around the center. It's got a stranded colorwork band around the center, but then they also tied a belt around it.
Yeah.
Which then just covers
the colorwork.
The stranded colorwork, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so I'm making some modifications. I'm not doing the color work because I didn't want to deal with that. I just wanted something really simple, like a big cozy throw-on cardigan with a shawl collar, and that's what it is. I'm using Eco Plus, and I don't know, what color is this?
9338.
Thank you.
Olive Heather.
Olive Heather, which Sharon is also knitting a sweater in.
Yeah,
the exact same yarn.
Matching.
And I knit the body of it in 3 days. I think I started it Friday afternoon, and I bound it off Monday. So almost 4. Yeah. So the body is done, and it's the original one. It's kind of cropped the body for the size I'm knitting, which is oversized for me. It's only like 11 and a half inches long, so very, it's kind of awkward. Yeah. And then the sleeves are 19 inches long. It's like, this is just weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I lengthened the body to 15 and a half inches, so it's like, you know,
your preferred cozy length.
A little bit longer.
Yeah.
I actually measured this, my Bailey cardigan, because it's pretty long.
Oh, right. 15 inches, your preferred sleeve length.
Yes.
For a 3/4, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I'm going to knit the sleeves longer than I normally would. I think I might just measure my Bailey cardigan, which is very fuzzy.
Which you're wearing right now.
Which I'm wearing right now.
It's very fuzzy.
I know.
That's some serious.
I was sleeping in it because it was so cold. A few weeks ago.
It was really cold. It needs a spa day.
It does. So yeah, I'm working on the first sleeve. I'm a good chunk into it. And I think the pattern does not have buttonholes, but I want to put buttonholes in it and use those like woven leather buttons, like
old man sweater.
Because that's basically what I'm knitting, is an old man sweater. I haven't decided if I'm going to put pockets in it or not. I might want like little pockets.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. So, working on that, and Midgey, which I talked about briefly last time, by Amba, and I am just about to start the second mini skein, and that's in the Black Trillium gradient. I think it's the water gradient. It's like a light blue to a really deep, dark kind of indigo, and that's just garter stitch. But I picked this up, and I've just been, like, totally into the sweater. And then I'm a little bit stalled out on the Thousand Kisses socks that I was making for Audrey, because I realized there was a discrepancy between the needle size listed in Ravelry for the pattern and the actual pattern itself. So the sock is coming out too big.
Because
it says 2.5
right
on the Petite Pearls pattern and a 2.25 on the Ravelry pattern. And I'm most of the way through the first one. So I don't know if I'm just going to knit the larger pair and then go back and knit a second pair that will fit her currently, like in the 2.25 needle size or what. It's kind of a pain.
It's just got like a little colorwork band on it, and then it's all plain, right? So it wouldn't be. It's not.
I mean, I could just rip back until below the colorwork so the colorwork's not tight, and then switch to the 2.25. Because the stitch count's correct.
Right.
And it's 1x1 rib, so it's, like, super stretchy.
Yeah.
I was just... And then I was looking, and I was like, well, I don't know. I was worried that the color work band was going to be too tight for her to get around her ankle and her heel, because she has kind of wide feet. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that. So I'm a little stalled out on it.
Yeah.
Because of all that stuff. Yeah. So... But mostly it's just the sweater.
Okay.
Sweater.
Well, I don't think I mentioned last time maybe I mentioned it, the Hunger Games cowl that I knit for my hairdresser. Which, I don't remember if I did. She asked me to knit her one of those Katniss cowls that's like the one arm slanty.
Not the one with the rope.
No. Well, it was supposed to be with the rope. Like, but really, but yeah, it, like the patterns all call for like it, the collar on it has these huge welts that a lot of designers either like crocheted around rope or crocheted around old t-shirts, all these things. And I just thought it's just not practical. So for mine, I kind of Frankenstein together a couple of different patterns that were on Ravelry and then kind of went my own way with it. But I just picked up around the neckline and I made it my neckline a little smaller. The original one that they show her in the movie is this huge neckline and it's really wide. It goes probably from like one side of her neck all the way to one of her shoulders. Mm-hmm. Like, and I just thought that's not helpful, like to have a cowl that's that wide. It doesn't actually keep you warm. So the one I made the collar, the neckline a little narrower, and then I just did welts of stockinette, reverse stockinette. So it has that kind of same look without being like really, without reading very clearly like I'm from a dystopian future. So, but I did it using all these acrylic yarns that I held together, including those two Woolies colors that ended up screwing me over on my hat. So that was the only other thing that I finished. Or I think I might have done another hat in there too, but I've basically just been knitting this. I haven't been knitting that much lately. I've just been, I don't know what I've been doing, trying to find a job, I guess.
Which is possibly going to be successful.
Yeah, I don't know. I had an interview today. Keep your fingers crossed
for me. Really well.
Maybe by the time you hear this, I will actually be employed. Who knows? So that was about it for me.
Okay.
What are you?
I knit you those mitts.
Yes, thank
for
you.
For Christmas. The Work Plus Shelter mitts. And I think it's the Sweatshop of Love. It's like a non-profit thing she does. She like donates all the proceeds to this like non-profit thing, I think. But that's in Cascade 220. Is it the same color?
I don't think it was the same one. I think it was the Ireland color. That, yeah. 2829.
Yes. In the Ireland color. I made you those for Christmas.
Yes.
And I had a Secret Santa at work, so I got my recipient a box of chocolate, because I can't have chocolate because I'm allergic to it.
Right.
So I was like, she will like this. I can buy it for her and just pretend that it's for me. No, not really. But I knit her a pair of mitts, and I knit Wraith Trevor, I don't know, by Jane Richmond from the Island book.
Oh, yeah.
The mitts that are on the cover.
Yeah, yeah.
They are so fast. Mm-hmm. And I knit them in Yarn Love Bronte Worsted or something. It's some, like a variegated, but it's all grays. So dark gray blips and light gray, and those are knit on sixes and sevens. So you start with the sevens at the wrist and then you change to the sixes for the rest, and they're like a super fast, cute gift thing to do, because I knit them basically in an evening.
Very cool.
And I just used yarn that I had. I was like, this is perfect, they're so cute. So, and I re-knit the Wee Wildflower cardigan.
Yay!
I actually just finished it on Saturday, or Sunday. I still have to sew the buttons on, but I'm considering it done, because it's my second time knitting it. And it fits her, so yay, she tried it on. I brought it to show and tell last night.
Very cool.
So I had like done all this math because of the different gauge, because it's supposed to be knit in pashmina, and I was not going to spend $90 on a sweater for Audrey. Yeah. So I used Cascade 220 Superwash, which is not a sport weight. Yes. Which meant that I had more ends to weave in. Because it's bottom up, and then you, like, you knit the pocket linings first, and then you knit bottom up, and then you, like, knit across. You do the fronts of the pockets, and then you, like, bind off the top of the pocket, and then you go back, and you, like, knit on the pocket linings, and then go from there. I don't think I explained that very well. Anyway, you have little bits of yarn.
Yes.
Yarn
places where
leftover.
You break off the yarn, yeah.
So, like, I had ripped the whole sweater and the sleeves, and so I had all these little balls of yarn, so I had a lot of ends to weave in, but it's cute, and she likes it, so
Yay.
And it's done.
Yay, it's done.
And she's way bigger than she used to be. She's six now. Just had her sixth birthday.
Yeah.
She's like a real kid. Closer to 10 than baby. Oh. I was just talking to Nikki about that.
Mine's closer to college than baby.
Yeah. She was like, why did you say that? I was like, I don't know, but it makes me sad.
Oh,
I mean, kind of, yeah. In one way.
They're so much fun, though. Like, yeah. I hear myself say over and over again about my kids, whatever age they are, I'm always like, this is my favorite age. Because I think sorry, I'm going to bore people who don't have kids here, but the thing about kids is that they sort of very, very slowly reveal themselves to you over time as you parent them. And it's like, the longer you know them, the more you know about them and learn who they are, and they sort of become who they are more and more as they get older. And it's like, you know, when you see them when they're four, you're like, oh, now I understand who you were when you were a baby, because that totally makes sense. But then when they're six, they can express so much more, and you see so much more in their personality that explains who they were when they were four.
I think anyone who has pets,
too. That's true. That works. Or a spouse, perhaps.
Yeah.
But it's like, the older they get, the more, like, the whole thing comes, you know, becomes clear.
You're
like,
a real person.
That's who you
now.
Were when you were six. That's what you were doing. I get it now. And it, like, kind of all goes, you know, fills out. It's like paint by numbers. You're, like, slowly filling in the picture.
Yeah. Like, she was not a cuddly baby. Like, she wasn't, like, a baby that wanted to be cuddled and cooed over and stuff. But now she, like, still loves to cuddle on the sofa. Like, Saturday mornings when I'm drinking my coffee and knitting, that's she comes nice. Out and she's like, I want to cuddle. Until she wakes all the way up, and it's sweet.
Yeah.
And it's not going to last, so I just...
My older son, if I even, like, accidentally graze against him, like, walking by,
what do you
he
want
says, don't judge me.
Charming.
Thank you. Love you too, 16-year-old. Now when I just want to annoy him, I reach out and just, like, put my hand on his shoulder or his arm or something. Just... Sorry.
Poke.
Yes, that's what my husband's always saying. Don't poke the bear. I'll poke the bear if I want to. All right. I had a sort of, I just remembered a little side note thing that I wanted to mention, that I got Knit Companion software for my iPad last year at Madrona, because a friend of mine was like, you got to use it. It's great. And I downloaded it. And at the time, I think it's still to this day the most expensive thing I ever bought from software for my iPad, because it's like $9.99 or something, because I'm all about the free apps and stuff. But she's like, here. And she, like, set up my pattern for me, and she, like, whizzed through it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I think of myself, like, I'm a techno-savvy person. I can figure this out. Sure. So when I was at... But then I never really used it that much. And when I was at the retreat in November, I was driving myself crazy, because I was knitting my custom fit. It was the stripey one, and I wanted to knit. I was knitting it all in one piece, and I wanted to put the shaping for the right front on the same page as the shaping for the left front. I wanted to sort of stitch those together, and I knew you could do it in Knit Companion, and I could not for the life of me figure it out. And my friend Lisa, who was sitting next to me, was like, oh, that should be easy. And we were like, it was one of these things where suddenly it was like four people with their heads together going like, click left, no, click that, no, hit that. Yeah, none of us knew what we were doing, and it wasn't working. So when I got home, I was reading up a little bit on the Ravelry forums, and people kept talking about how good the classes that Sally Holt, the creator of Knit Companion, the classes that she does online are really great. And I'm like, I don't want to pay $45 to learn how to use software that I already had to buy. And because I'm cranky and cheap like that. And
call it frugal.
Cranky
and frugal.
Cranky and frugal, yeah. Krugel. she offers a free intro class, though.
Okay.
That's just sort of fundamentals. And it's a 1 hour long webinar. And so I got Lisa to sign up for it, too. And it was some Sunday morning at 8 a.m., and it's a live webinar with her, and it was really great. She is an excellent instructor. She packed in a ton of information in that hour, where I really felt like it helped me understand because I felt like the software was really non-intuitive. And once I walked through the fundamentals with her, it's like I kind of got it. Like, now I understand her thought press, how she's viewing it, and then I can kind of... Because the problem is the help sections are... when you click help, it's not like you're getting access to all the help anywhere. When you click help, you're only getting help that's associated with the section you're in. And the problem is if you want to do something and you don't know where it is, there's nowhere to look for help for it other than going online and looking. So, or at least nowhere like native in the software. So anyway, but I thought it was fabulous and Lisa thought it was great. And you can retake that fundamentals class as much as you want. And I probably will take it one more time.
Just are you going to pay for the $45?
I don't think thing? I am. I feel like now I get it. Like okay. Now I'm able to do a little bit more. And maybe later if I feel like I need to do some really advanced
maybe
stuff with it.
Maybe if it depends on how often you use it, too.
Yeah, but I feel like I have so much better understanding of it now. And I, like, I went... It was 8 a.m. on a Sunday, which for me is, like, hella early for a Sunday. I'm not an early riser, so, like, by the time I was done with the class, Wes was still in bed. I went back upstairs, and I'm sitting in bed next to him, like... cropping charts and flipping things mm-hmm. around and stitching things together. And I just had this like, I get it. I understand how that's this works cool. now. And it is really, I mean, it's really powerful software. There's a lot you can do with it. It just takes a lot of tinkering to kind of figure it out. It's just not super intuitive software. So, anyway, but if you have Knit Companion or if you're thinking about getting it or if you just have, like, the free version to test it out, I would highly recommend going to the Knit Companion website and signing up for one of those free classes. It just really gives you a nice window into what the software is capable of doing. And it is really helpful for projects with...
lots of charts.
Lots of charts, or even something where it's not lots of charts, but maybe it's just a pattern where it's laid out stupidly and the key and the chart are on two different pages.
I hate that.
Which, you know, I understand from doing pattern layouts. Sometimes it's inevitable. I mean, you can't help it. Sometimes the page isn't big enough to put everything on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But as a knitter, it's annoying where you're having to flip over here and flip. Or right. The key is next to the chart, but the definitions of what those things, you know, when it says a central decrease, which central decrease are you doing? And right. then you have to flip to yet another page. So you can put multiple keys on a page, like you can be viewing a chart and have a key that tells you what the chart symbols are, but have a second key that tells you what those, ooh, how to do those.
Excellent.
So there's a lot you can do with it that's really handy. Sort of long side yeah. ramble, but that was a very useful thing
tip.
I did. Yeah. So definitely would recommend that if you're thinking about getting the software, if you have it and you never use it.
Because you don't know how to use it.
Because you don't know how to use it. Because you're like me going, where is it?
I should just be able to search this, right?
Yeah.
All right. So let's do our wrap up.
Oh, right. Yes.
So do you have like a favorite thing that you knit this year?
I'd say like my favorite thing this year was custom fit. Like I find like... talk about something where it's like, I didn't really get it before. I'm like, why would anyone need this? And mm-hmm. I'm cheap. I don't want to pay someone to write a pattern for me. I know how to do this.
Yeah.
And then like, bing, I get it now. I yeah. like it. It's quite addictive.
It is.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'm way in there. So that, and you know, obviously I think anyone who's followed me at all this year knows that plain hats are just my penicillin for the soul kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Chicken soup for the soul, whatever it is. Penicillin for the soul. That doesn't make any sense. I don't know what's wrong with my soul that I need penicillin.
Where have you been?
That explains a lot about me, doesn't it? She is infected in her soul. Anyway, yeah. No, but just plain hat knitting to me is so soothing, so satisfying. I know.
Do you know what your final tally was this year?
You know, I never went back and counted. I know it was. I think I knit like 24 hats
wow.
just in September.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
Because yeah, like every day you were like
new hat.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of them were baby hats, and some of them were bulky hats mm-hmm. or whatever. But yeah, you know, there's just something so satisfying about like done,
mm-hmm.
done, where you're and using up all those weird little bits of bobs and just love it. I that is definitely for me, that is my zen, and I know other people want to do fancier, more involved things, but
yeah.
I've always been like a person who likes to knit really fancy socks,
mm-hmm.
like I never knit plain socks,
mm-hmm.
And for most people, they're like, Zen knitting is the plain sock. And I'm like, nah, I do fancy socks, but a plain hat, love that.
Cool.
And finish it a lot faster than a plain sock. How about you?
Well, I knit, so I did kind of a tally between like sample knitting and stuff.
You did a lot of samples this year.
Yeah. Between, I knit that sweater for Andy, and between the sweaters for me and for Audrey, I think I knit 10, maybe 11?
Yeah.
Between 9 and 11, mm-hmm. I'll say. I was counting, and then I'd be like, no, that's not right, and I'd count again. Whatever.
You broke it down in your blog, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, but I can't remember what that was Sunday, so I don't remember. but I knit a lot of sweaters, and I did some, Palm de Pin by Amy Christophers, I wear a lot on the weekends.
Wow, that was this year. This has been a long year.
It has been a long year. And then I knit Water Lily, that top from Pom Pom Quarterly, and I love that thing. It's so cute for, like, what we call summer here. We had a really nice summer. But, like, I felt like I could wear it to work, and it wasn't, you know, janky looking or, like, weird. And it's cute with a skirt, and it's cute with jeans. Like, and I really liked it, and I want to knit more tops in that style, which is weird. I was very ambivalent about the lack of body shaping or anything, because I don't like big, huge, oversized things. Mm-hmm. And most of my clothes have some sort of structure to them. I think because I'm busty and curvy, I feel more comfortable in clothes with structure. So it's like I'm going to knit this and it's going to be terrible. I'm just going to have to give it to somebody else or frog it and knit some giant shawl or something. But I really love it. And I want to knit more like that. And I might want to knit another one that does not have silk in it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something else. Maybe bamboo. I don't know. Bamboo grows like crazy.
Yeah.
But even, like, I think it was on, like, fives. Maybe fours. Yeah. But it's basically just a tube and lace at the top.
Right.
So, well, my custom fit, the owl tweet one, I wear that all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like I went back and fiddled with the measurements around the waist, like, or the amount of ease around the waist or something, and now I'm really happy with it. Like, that. It's just, like, perfect. And I want to knit, and that was just super plain stockinette with garter edges, and I just want to knit some more stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it goes with a ton of stuff I have. And then Happy Street is, like, my favorite, and I wear that so much. And that was, the pattern was gifted to me by Sonia. Hi, Sonia! And then it's knit out of some of my favorite sock yarn, which is Hazelknits. Hey, Wendy! Hey, Wendy. And it's super long, and then it's been cold. Like, last night it was supposed to be, like, 24 or 22 here.
Knitters in other parts of the country are laughing really hard right now that's really clear, cold.
Clear and sharply cold. For Seattle, it's cold.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I thought my face was going to freeze tonight when I was walking home from the bus. But it's so long that I can wrap it, like, three times around. Yeah. It's nice and squishy because it's garter stitch.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, the colors make me happy, and
it's living up to its name.
Yeah, it is.
It's Happy Street.
It is Happy Street. Puts me on Happy Street. And awesome. I don't normally knit shawls more than once, but I want to knit another one this year.
Fun. So. Well, you know, I felt that way with Stripe Study and Color Affection. Mm-hmm. Like, you could really do a gajillion of those, especially Color Affection. I think Happy Street is sort of a similar thing because it's so much fun to play with the colors. And even if you took the same three colors, if you placed them differently, you'd get a really different effect. And the overall
although
look
because
would
of
change.
The colors I chose, people are always like, oh, you dub, huh? Huskies, go dogs. And I'm like, yeah, sports ball, woo! And I just like the colors together.
That's funny.
Anyway.
So your next one is going to be maroon and silver is what you're saying?
Yeah. Cougs.
I'm patting myself mentally on the back right now.
For knowing those colors.
For knowing those colors. I've lived here for 18 years. Yeah. I finally figured that out.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are my favorite things. Cool. Do you have any new techniques that you learned this year? Or anything that you're like, oh yeah, besides your Knit Companion.
Yeah, I think Knit Companion was like the only thing I can think of. I didn't challenge myself very much. I've been on I mean, I don't even want to say, like, this year. I think the last couple of years, I've been in kind of, like, let's just make things easy, okay? kind of mode where I'm not picking projects where it's, like, ooh, I've never done this really complicated thing before. So I don't think I have done anything new. No, I can't. Nothing is leaping to mind. I don't think I have. I think I've just picked, I mean, most of the sweaters I did four custom fit sweaters that were just plain stockinette. I mean, I'm really going, like, going for the softball, kind of like, you know? It's
like wardrobe staple type stuff.
Yeah, I'm just going easy. I've been doing easy hats and easy everything. I don't think I did anything that even vaguely complex this year that I recall.
You learned Knit Companion.
Yes.
Okay.
How about you?
I did my first saddle shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
The Pretty Me cardigan has a saddle shoulder. I'd never done that before.
Is that a seamless saddle or a pieced saddle?
Seamless.
Okay.
And I did that suspended bind off, which I think I had done on my Green Gables themed one. Balsam Hollow shawl.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'd done it a long, long time ago, but I was like, oh, this is cool. It looks nice, and it's pretty stretchy. It's not, like, the stretchiest, but I feel like it could sub in for a fairly stretchy one.
Yeah.
So those were two semi-recent ones. And then I picked up sewing again, which I've gone kind of gangbusters on, and I have a lot more planted for this year.
I finally wove things successfully this year. Oh, that's definitely a big thing for me that I wanted to conquer. I wove something successfully on my table loom, and I definitely got the hang of my
that weaving camp
cute
thing
little
too.
Yeah, got the hang of my little
cricket
now too, so I feel very comfortable with the cricket. Getting finally having something successfully come off my table loom was a big deal, because there were a lot of flops before, a lot of wonky pancakes came off that griddle before there was a good one, before I had a keeper.
So you don't really do goals for next year?
I'm not a resolution person, sorry. I'm just not. It's just, it doesn't work well for me. It's not motivating. So, but I saw you had a blog post with some.
Oh yeah. So I kind of recapped last year's or you know, what I had done this year, and like used my pattern library, which I did, and I only bought two new books, like books, and I
books
like physical books. I think I got that from Cerulea.
Yes, I think so too.
Like books versus ebooks.
Yes.
I did get a couple of ebooks. But, you know, I really, because I thought I was moving to Texas, so I culled a lot of stuff and got rid of a lot of stuff. So I felt, I still have an empty, well, it's not empty right now because my new books I got for Christmas are on it. But I know. And to knit with my stash, which I feel like was pretty good. I think I kind of zeroed out with the input and the output. Learn all about weaving, which I wove a few things, but I haven't woven on it for a while. Because I think sewing kind of filled that.
Yeah, well, you were doing a lot of sewing this year.
Yeah,
so.
I did. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Because I'm doing Me Made May next year.
Oh, wow.
So.
Cool.
My next project is pants, I think.
Oh, whoa.
I know.
That's hardcore.
I know. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
We'll keep you updated. So for this next year, you don't really do resolutions.
No, you go.
So I want to kind of shift focus to knitting with more local and North American raised milled yarns.
Very cool.
I think that is much easier to do now than it was even 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And also easier to do here in the Pacific Northwest, where we have a lot of fiber growers. Although I think, you know, if people search, there's but we have a lot more established businesses that are doing that here now,
and it's pretty easy to get like Imperial Stock Ranch, and they're not local, but they're on the East Coast, but Quince and Company and Brooklyn Tweed. I think they use the same mill.
Mm-hmm. Or here we have Local Color.
And
Insouciant, and we've got a lot.
Yeah, we do have a lot. And it's kind of what I'm going to start shifting my focus to for purchasing. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, you know, I think the word mindful gets thrown around a lot, like as a buzzword, being mindful about things. And it's like, I think of that for people who have time to be mindful, which I don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that gets thrown around as a buzzword. And I don't really like that. Mm-hmm. Like, just change your habit.
Yes. Like,
yeah. It's good to think about where stuff comes from and how things are made. But, like, actually doing it is better than just thinking about it.
Yeah.
A lot. And it's so easy to do now, you know, to support local businesses and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And I actually do not do a lot of online shopping, so it's because I want to touch stuff in yeah. person. So I have lots of options. It's going to be easy for me to do that. And it's not like I'm going to get rid of all my stash
right.
of stuff that I've purchased in the past that is, like, you know, milled in Italy and dyed somewhere else and shipped here or whatever. But this kind of thing. And the other thing was I want to make more Colorwork sweaters. And then I realized after seeing the Imitation Game that I might need to knit a Colorwork sweater vest, even though I don't know that I would wear that. But I might force myself to.
So the thing with the Colorwork sweaters is I look at them and I love them. Mm-hmm. But when it comes time to put clothes on and go out into the world, mm-hmm. I tend not to wear really heavily patterned stuff. I think that's why a custom fit kind of like just sort of, you know, meshed mm-hmm. for me this year. Is like, oh, yes, all these plain sweaters that I'll actually wear.
Yeah.
Because that's what I wear.
Yeah.
The plain, you know, the really, it's just...
I want to knit the one from Gudrun's new book.
Mm, yeah.
But make it into a cardigan. Because I think I'd actually wear it as a cardigan.
Yeah.
Not as a pullover. Which is why I'm, like, confused about the need for sweater vests in my life. Because I don't wear them. Like, I've never purchased one.
Yeah. I have a few. And I never wear them because I've yet to find the right shirts to go with them. Like, mm-hmm. Because I did Angostura from Little Red. And I also knit, what was it called? Hepburn, I want to say, from an old Rowan. I think I did both of those last year, the year before. And I tried on every shirt I own with them and then even went out and tried to, like, buy a shirt to go with them. And I just mm-hmm. never found one that had the right look. Like, I didn't want something with really tight sleeves, but if the armhole was too low, then it was bunchy, yeah. And then also getting things that worked well with the neckline, because one has a very open V neckline and one has a neckline that's tied, and I just never found anything that quite worked with them, so I never wear them. I was actually going through my sweater bin and I picked one up and I was like, what is this? And it was the Hepburn one, and I've only worn it like twice, I think, because I just never found a shirt that I love with it. But so maybe that's my new challenge. Maybe find a shirt.
We should ask listeners if you've knit a sweater vest and you wear it a lot. What sweater vest is it, and what do you wear it with?
Yes,
I'm curious.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, that's it. That's wrap up. That's goals. I have like two.
Yeah,
two goals.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, so speaking of Imitation Game, we can talk movies.
Yeah,
because we didn't go together, but we both saw The Imitation Game in the theater. So that's a rare thing that we can talk about a current film. And
I've gone to two movies in the movie theater in the past month.
That's a big deal.
I would never do that.
So for those who don't know Imitation Game, I even mentioned on the last podcast, because I was talking about Bletchley Circle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's inspired by the life of Alan Turing, who is a mathematician who worked at Bletchley Park during World War II for British intelligence, working on essentially a computer that could find out the keys to the German Enigma machine and essentially, you know, break the Nazi codes for all their communication during World War II. He was, I don't think I'm spoiling anything by, you know, he ended up being imprisoned in the 50s after being suspected of being a Soviet spy, but he was actually sent to prison for immorality because he was a homosexual.
Well, he was house arrested and put on hormone therapy.
Well, that's how they did it in the movie. He actually went to prison in real life. Yeah, I think. In real life, he did spend time in jail.
In real life, he also committed suicide by eating a cyanide apple.
Yeah.
So... It's that part's not in the book.
No, so. It's but well, so we were talking about it knitting last night. And all anyone could talk about were the clothes.
Oh, the clothes are really good.
He's got lots of like very hand knit looking sweater vests.
He has two different sweater vests, and we were discussing them because one has cables on the front. It has, like, a broken rib on the back, but there's another one that's a broken rib on both sides. Mm. And I was like, maybe they just knit one back and just switch out the fronts instead of knitting, because they're pretty much the same color, yeah. I think.
Oh, that's true, they were. Yeah. Yeah, maybe they did. And then Keira Knightley's character wears a really big, kind of wrap-style cardigan that has bands of color work that's in kind of, would you say, like kind of a camel color, almost to a mustard. With
brown and green and orange.
And then with bands of color work that...
it's kind of like a twisty argyle type thing.
Yeah, it was very cool. I was trying not to get, like, too derailed staring at the clothes while trying just to watch the movie.
Well, and some of the other guys in it also have, like, Fair Isle color work vests that were... really nice.
What'd you think of the movie?
The movie was good. I was impressed. I was very skeptical. Mm-hmm. One, because I don't really care for Keira Knightley very much, but she didn't ruin it, so yay. And I thought, I feel like they jumped around in time a little too much. Mm-hmm. Like the flashback thing. Like, I know that those parts of the story helped kind of flesh out Turing's the character. But... when there are too many flashbacks, I get, like, annoyed. I'm like, stop flashing back! Just choose one time and stick with it.
I think it was also a way of cheating, rather than just showing them grinding away on the same problem, which took a very long time to find the solution to.
It did make it more interesting. I wouldn't want to watch the computer.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to watch 2 years of, like, trying to invent this machine. That would just be frustrating. But, So I saw another biopic in the theater this past week, which was, or another inspired by a true events film, which is Foxcatcher, which is about David and Mark Schultz, who both won gold medals in the 1984 Olympics and trained together at a gym that was sponsored by John DuPont, who... again, I don't think I'm spoiling anything, murdered David Schultz years later. And it stars Channing Tatum and Steve Carell under a pile of prosthetics, so he's kind of unrecognizable, and Mark Ruffalo as David Schultz. And I thought they did... it was a really slow movie. Mm-hmm. It was very quiet, and... kind of this really slow, steady lurch toward this inevitable, terrible event. And what I thought was unusual about it, I mean, not that I have a problem with that, but what's unusual about it is that they actually changed the facts of the case pretty substantially so that the film ends leaving the impression that the murder took place very shortly after the 88 Olympics, when in fact the murder took place in 96. So there's sort of this huge amount of time in there that isn't explored. And the film really looks at the relationship between John DuPont and Mark Schultz when the murder was the murder of his brother. And so it left me wondering, like, why the filmmakers made some of the choices that they did. Putting aside the reality of it, the story they chose to tell and the way they chose to tell it was interesting, and the performances were very good. But I don't know if ultimately it kind of left me a little cold and not terribly...
Well, just because that's Steve Carell, and it doesn't mean it's a comedy.
Oh, God, yeah. And because it was really quiet, I think, you know, it was like a holiday audience, and I think... I don't know if everybody knew, like, what they were getting into with the movie, but they thought...
Steve Carell, sure.
Yeah, but I think they all thought, like, well, this is really quiet and nothing's really happening, so we're just going to talk amongst ourselves. There was so much talking going on in the theater, which was really annoying and really disruptive for this very
like, if you're that bored, thoughtful... just get up and leave.
I know. Ugh. I did finally have to ask someone multiple times to be quiet. But
you should ask once and then get the people that work there.
Yeah, that's true.
As someone who has worked at a movie theater, yeah. I have very low tolerance for bad behavior in movie theaters.
Yeah.
So which is probably part of the reason I didn't go very often.
So talk about your other movie.
Though, oh, so
I did not see that and I will never see it. So go ahead.
The movie I saw is called The Babadook and it is an Australian horror film. And it's about a mother and her son who have a tense relationship. And the son is young. He's like 6 or 7. He's about to have a birthday. He's about to turn 6 or 7. They have a tense relationship. The dad has passed away. And this creepy kid's book, children's book, shows up at their house and they read it. And the kid starts having behavioral issues. So at first, you're not really sure if this is side effects of the tense relationship. And it's just happenstance that this book shows up. But no, there's, like, this thing called the Babadook that shows up and is, you know, kind of gets in with the kid and then starts going after the mom. And it's super creepy and it's excellent. If you like horror movies. And it's not, like, it's not a gory one. It's not a jump scare one. Mm-hmm. It's not, like, a torture one. It's just, like, straight up horror suspense one. Yeah. If you like horror at all, you'll probably like it.
Good. Well, I keep hearing
A lot of
things about it, like that it's on a lot of the top 10 best film lists of the year.
It is fantastic.
But I know I'm never going to see it.
Yeah.
So,
no. But I posted the preview on Facebook or something, and people were like, I couldn't even watch the whole preview.
I didn't. I started to watch. I was like, oh, what's that? And it started, and I was like, nope, turn it off.
It's super creepy, and I saw it with Sharon, and we had a good talk about it afterward. So
yeah,
I liked it a lot.
So something else I watched that we were talking about it the other night on Netflix, and we watched this all, like, my family, we all watched it together, and it's not something I would suggest for younger children, but there's nothing too off color for teens, and it is a film called In a World, and it stars and was written and directed by Lake Bell, and it also happens to co-star, like, a whole lot of really funny people. And it is a really sweet, funny movie about a woman who is a vocal coach and trying to break into voiceover work. And her father's a really famous voiceover guy who does film trailers. And they're talking, the whole premise is how the famous start to all the film trailers, the In a World, blah, blah, blah. So, but it's super cute. It's really sweet. It's funny. It's got Michaela Watkins in it, and Ken Marino, Rob Corddry, Dimitri Martin, Tig Notaro's in there. Nick Offerman's in there. It's just like everyone who shows up. It's like, you, I love you. It was just like all these great, funny people. And I like it. Never goes for like the really obvious, like, horrible joke or really super uncomfortable moment. It's almost, even though it's almost more real, I mean, it's just very sweet. It's well observed. I just really enjoyed it. The kids really enjoyed it. So it's kind of a sleeper, but if you're bored one night, it's like 90 minutes of cute movie watching. And again, not for little kids, because there's a lot of grown-up stuff in it, but you know, for more mature teens, it's probably not that objectionable, but really enjoyed that a lot.
Cool.
And then I'm back on the Breaking Bad bandwagon. I know you're not into that show at all, but
I am. I mean, I like to watch horror movies, but I have a hard time watching TV dramas where everyone's just a horrible person and gets worse.
Yeah.
So, like, House of Cards, everyone's a despicable person. I've watched 2 episodes. I'm like, oh, this is going nowhere good.
Yeah.
But I know it's a good show, and I want to keep watching it, but I have to, like, be in that mood, and that mood just doesn't happen.
See, I don't mind that at all. I'm always interested by movies or TV shows that kind of explore the tension between, like, how a person who in some ways is a good person or is in some ways a likable person, an appealing person, can also do terrible things. Breaking Bad, I think, is a little bit different, where it really starts with a group of people who are not terrible people and slowly turns them all into monsters. So I'm like 9 episodes from the end, and it's a little, I mean, it's a really stomach-churning show. There's a lot of violence in it, but the violence is also deeply upsetting. There's never throwaway violence. It's every act of violence is deeply upsetting, and the performances are great. I think also the direction is really interesting. There's a very interesting and varied group of directors who worked on the show over the 5 seasons, and so there's some really interesting directorial choices going on in the storytelling, and certainly the writing is top notch. But it's hard for me. I'll watch it for a little while and then be like, ooh, no, I can't deal with it. Then I'll come back. But now I'm kind of on the downward slope, because I've kind of hit the pivotal point of the final season, and it's like, it's all going to come together now. But on the complete flip side, a TV show that I've been watching, which is a new TV show that I don't think I've heard a single person mention because it's on USA Network. is a really cute work sitcom called Benched, which is if Enlightened and The Good Wife and Parks and Rec kind of got shook up in a bag and you made a new sitcom out of it. It's about a woman named Nina who is a super hotshot lawyer who has a total meltdown at work and gets canned and ends up working at the public defender's office. And it's just a really silly, silly, lighthearted workplace comedy. But it's quite funny. I keep forgetting the name of the actress who plays the lead. The male lead in it is Jay Harrington, who is the lead in Better Off Ted, which is one of those sitcoms that died too young. It was such a good show. And the guy who played Oscar from The Office is in it. It's just a really silly show, but it's a lot of fun. I don't know if it'll be available online right now. I just TiVo it, but it's I feel like this is a good show. Why doesn't anybody ever talk about this show? So I'm talking about Benched. It's really cute. Check it out. What else have you been watching?
I watched a movie called Ida, which is a foreign film about a young girl. It's black and white. It's about a girl who's about to take orders at a convent, and then she's been told that everyone in her family is dead, and then the mother superior says, actually, your aunt's alive and you're gonna go visit her. She goes and visits, and she finds out that she's actually Jewish, and then her aunt, she stays with her aunt for a while to experience the world before she takes orders, and her aunt explains to her your family, your family were living in this small town, and some of the townspeople were hiding them, and they all died, and I don't know where they were buried. So we're gonna take this trip, and we're gonna try and figure out what went on with that. And then,
So it's a road trip movie. Fun.
Yeah. I mean, there are funny moments in it. The aunt's kind of a loose woman. She has lives kind of a bohemian lifestyle. Uh-huh. She's a well-known lawyer. And it's in, I can't remember which country it's in, but it's a socialist country. And she's one of the lawyers who's trying to dig out anti-socialist people, I want to say. So she's well known. She is drinking all the time. She gets pulled over for driving under the influence, and she's trying to get out of spending the night in the drunk tank, and Ida's with her I don't know what's going on, wearing her little habit. But it's really good. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a drama, and it has sad moments. It sounds really depressing, but it's very good, and it's on Watch Instantly.
Yeah. I'm making a note of it right now. I just wrote that down.
Yes. I just, it was really interesting and it was good. And it didn't make me, like, some of it's depressing, but it didn't make me, like, want to bawl my eyes out.
Yeah.
It was just, like, an interesting movie to watch. And it's not that long. It's under 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So, and I want to say it came out around the same time as that, that punk rock one you were talking about. We Are the Best.
Oh, We Are the Best.
Which, yeah, I haven't watched yet. But I remember seeing previews for them at the same time as, oh, something.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was probably around the same, it was probably around SIFF or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very good. Yeah. That's pretty much it. I'm watching some Archer.
We're getting caught up on season 5 right now. Yeah, Archer Vice.
I'm in season 4 and I'm like kind of piecing it out because I know it, like, the end is coming. It, yeah, just makes me sad.
I think season 5 should probably be available for streaming really soon because season 6 is about to start in, like, yeah, another couple of weeks.
Because isn't season 6 the final season?
I don't know about that. Like, season 5 is this total departure season where it's, okay, the Archer Vice, where it's, like, all about, like, them trying to become cocaine dealers. It's Archer. It's just total. Everything's always totally off the rails all the time. But I don't know what's going on. I mean, I know they're getting ready for season 6. I don't know if they're going to, if they'll end it or they'll just keep doing, yeah, it. But
I mean, I watched, oh, the other thing I watched all of, because I had some time off around Christmas, was Hit and Miss with Chloe Sevigny. She's a male to female transsexual pre-op. It's a British series. It's a one series. It's 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. And she's a hired killer. And she finds out through this letter that a woman she'd had a relationship with in the past before she started transitioning had her son. So she's a dad.
Oh.
And then she goes to see her because she's
very different from Transparent.
Because she's in the letter she says she's ill. She has cancer. Oh, and okay. So Chloe Sevigny goes to this rural farmhouse and the girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, the mother of her son, has since died in between that time, and the mother has willed not only her son, but the 3 other kids that she had with different people to Chloe Sevigny. Like, oh. Here, take them.
Oh, man.
And so she's trying to, like, she's still, like, killing people. She's still killing people, and then she's having a black
comedy, I guess.
Yes, and because the synopsis on Netflix was so crazy, it's like, you know, male to female transsexual assassin killer person, you know.
Raises children.
I'm like, what? This is crazy. It's like they took
Despicable Me, but weirder.
It's like they wrote a bunch of, like, slips on a piece of paper and, like, shook it up and just pulled out, like, 4 or 5. Right. I'm like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, urchins, but
it was really good. And I feel like there should have been a second series, but it's from way back in 2012. And I looked it up, yeah, and there's not going to be more. But it was good.
That's cool.
So and Chloe Sevigny, I mean, I like her. She looks so much better with dark hair.
Oh.
Like, she always has this, like, kind of dishwater blonde, yeah, kind of hair. And she has, like, she's a dark brunette in this.
Oh.
But, you know, it's has depressing moments, obviously, because she's dealing with her own gender identity and then trying to, like,
Murder people.
And at the same time, like, her boss who gives her the jobs is, like, trying to mentor the oldest son in his shady business dealings. Like, there's all this sketchy stuff going on, but it was really good. I liked it.
Cool.
So that's it.
All right. Well,
that was episode 100.
100. Woo! Yeah. Show notes at doublenet.net.
Mm-hmm.
Join our Ravelry group at Doublenet Podcast.
Take the poll
once we get it fixed.
Yeah.
And
we'll talk to you in a couple
weeks.
Have
a happy new year.
Happy new year.
Bye.
Sweet
bye.
Motorcycle, won't you change me? In a world of funny changes, speeding motorcycle, won't you change me? Cycle. changing me. Speeding motorcycle, don't you drive recklessly. A speeding motorcycle of my heart. Many girls have taken you out for a ride, hurt you deep inside, but you never slow down. Wreck, but we can do a lot of tricks. We don't have to break our necks to get our kicks. Speeding motorcycle, the road is ours. Speeding motorcycle, let's speed some more. Because we don't need reason and we don't need logic. Got a feeling that we're dang proud of it. Speeding motorcycle, there's nothing you can do. Speeding motorcycle, I love you. Speeding motorcycle, let's just go. Let's go.